Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two, to the corner, Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in. They score! It's the St. Louisan, Pat Maroon. Bring out the Zamboni. Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he sends them to the conference finals.
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano, Martin Kilcoyne, broadcasting live from the Palladium with our outstanding executive engineer, producer, manager, Jim Huer. This is a significant moment in St. Louis sports history, Martin. It's soccer being announced.
And I will say, the scene that they have provided here, it's a beautiful set. I mean, it looks like a major announcement. Yeah. I've never been inside the Palladium before. A lot of people are saying, where is that? Roughly 14th and Park, the edges of Lafayette Square. But, boy, it's not only a cool setup. We've got sort of Radio Row. It feels like we're at the Super Bowl. Multiple media outlets lined up. And then just standing around. Like, hey, there's Taylor Twellman, one of the voices of the MLS. There's Dan Flynn, the head of U.S. Soccer. And there's Jim Cavanaugh. I saw him on the way to the bathroom. I mean, they're all here. I don't think the announcement's going to disappoint.
I mean, did you think with the Taylor family, it would be outside, like with a blanket out, said like MLS in the background? Right. This is about as good as you can get. It's so good that this is one of the first times I've seen you in a tie for our radio show.
It's true, and I wore a blue suit because we had a conversation yesterday. You got to wear a blue suit. It's beautiful. The layout is great. The announcement will be fun. However, there doesn't appear to be any snacks. I don't want to, because Charlie Marlowe famously went to, before you get married, what is it called, pre-Cana?
Yes.
You meet with the priest and you go over everything. So Charlie's wife is Catholic. He was not raised Catholic. So he said, I'm going to go to these pre-Cana things, keep an open mind. And he came back on Monday. I said, how was it? He said, you know, I got to say, it wasn't bad. I said, really, what did you learn? He said, well, they had good snacks. The takeaway from his wedding ceremony, you know, planning ahead, the run-up to the wedding, they had good snacks. But we're snackless. That's okay.
Now, when you think of major soccer announcements, you think of people like Orlando Pace, Jim Edmonds, Bernie Federko, and Aeneas Williams. They'll all be here today.
I saw Jackie Smith valet parking his car.
Very nice.
The dignitaries are here, which is great.
All right. We'll make this one of our laps today. I don't think we're going to get to six laps, but let's begin our opening monologue brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Remember, the Bomberito 500 coming up this Saturday night. Let's begin with lap one. So it was the big decision last night after 111 pitches and not giving up a hit. It was Mike Shildt walking out to the mound, clapping his hands. He had already called for the pitcher, so Dakota Hudson did not have a chance to plead his case. Let's listen to the participants after the game.
No, it wasn't a tough decision at all. It really just wasn't. You know, we saw the tea leaves, the way the game was going, and, you know, you're also still in a close game. So, you know, one thing that over the years of doing it, you know, you don't get many of those scenarios, and you know it's a big accomplishment, but you also want to make sure you're taking care of the game as well. And then you want to take care of the player, you know, and we got a lot of season left, and there just wasn't, just weren't enough bullets. You know, you could have justified it if maybe that was the end of the eighth, let him grab the ninth. But, you know, at a 111, Thames too long and bad on him, he had more than done his job.
With everything I got, how many opportunities do you have to kind of go for that, you know, especially in my career? I feel like it's just starting. So it's like, oh, well, I'm hopeful that I'll have more opportunities. But you never know, you know.
Did you try to plead at all? What did you say?
I didn't. They already motioned for the bullpen before I got to him. If he would have walked out to me first, maybe some, I would have said something. But I felt like I'd already been pulled before I had a chance. So,
what'd you think?
I love the candor from Dakota Hudson. He said it to you. He said it to the cat on the field. Basically, I thought if I hadn't given up any hits, I'd get to stay in the game. He said, I thought pitch count didn't matter if I'd given up no hits. I love his candor. It's the right answer from him. And even Jim Edmonds and Rick Ankiel in the post game said, I kind of wanted to see him stay in there. But I also think it was the right call. It was the seventh inning. Was he going to throw 140, 150 pitches? The only argument you could say is maybe get him through the seventh and just let him start the eighth just to see. But there's no way he was going nine. And I think that was Mike Shildt's point. I think it was the right call. But if I'm the player, I'd say, I'll throw 180 pitches. I'm getting a damn no-hitter. I don't care. Cardinals haven't had one in 18 years.
Yeah, which is unbelievable. Bud Smith, the last one.
That's hard to believe. But I think it was the right call because it's 6 2/3. He's not sitting there in the eighth. I think it was the right move. It's boring. I would love to see the no-hitter. If I'm in that building, I'm pissed because I want to see it.
And you go to Facebook or social media, and they are destroying the manager for what he did last night. I mean, destroying him.
I don't think at 111 you can quit. Do you? You still had 7 outs. What's it going to take you, another 30, 40 pitches at least?
I mean, there's no doubt if it was the 8th inning when this happened, you definitely let him start the 9th. I don't know. I see the logic, and I don't disagree with it. But I think if I was manager, I would
have let him hang a little longer.
Yeah.
Well, because the argument to letting him hang, he just walked a guy. It was not the go-ahead run coming to the plate. Even at that point, it was 3-0 when they took him out. You could bring him out, and what if the 8th is literally 4 pitches? Because you don't know that. But I don't think it was the wrong call. Because I just don't. And Rick Horton said on the broadcast, the question right now is he going to pitch all 9 innings? Probably not. So it doesn't really matter when you take him out.
And let's don't, you know, even bury the lead. The story is that this guy has been absolutely untouchable and unstoppable in back-to-back outings. And he and Jack Flaherty together, I mean, this is Matt Morris and Alan Bennis, what it, you know, was supposed to look like before Bennis got hurt. This is an unbelievable duo to have for the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, last 2 starts. He goes out and gives up no runs, and he gives up no hits. Back-to-back, people said, well, it's just the Royals. If you haven't noticed, Milwaukee can hit. They can't pitch a lick, but Milwaukee can hit. That is the bigger story. You still got 39 games to go. You still got a division there for the taking. If Flaherty and Hudson can do this back-to-back, you can win this division. That is the bigger story. But if I'm the player, I would be pissed. But I think if I'm Shildt, I know I would have taken him out, but maybe not right there. But I think it's the right call.
All right, lap 2. So before the game, it was some of the most interesting conversation with the manager. Martin and I were peppering Mike Shildt with questions about the distribution of playing time for Matt Carpenter. And Brian had the stat yesterday. In his last 148 games, he's hitting .215, and all of his numbers are dreadfully below what he's done in his career. And this is how the manager rationalized trotting out Matt Carpenter.
We know we've got the thing with Matt Carpenter. You've got this proven elite OPS machine that when it's driving and operating, not even at its fullest capacity. You know, I mean, it's great to have the, you know, June, July version of Matt Carpenter, player of the month. That got him into rightfully that ended up finishing 9th in the MVP last year. I mean, let's, you know, how soon we forget, right? You know, so your question is like, how soon are you going to cast him aside is effectively the question on some level. And I understand it. I mean, you know, listen, it's about production. But by the same token, you're talking about even when he's not at that elite of performance for June or July last year, just historically his performance level has been so dramatically strong. I mean, you look up, he's starting to set league, you know, career records for this organization. You know, that can't be ignored. But we got guys that are playing well, and, you know, clearly production's important, and we're not going to be turn a blind eye to it either. So where's the patience to it? You know, and I get the fact that, you know, it can be a challenge to be patient. But I think it's also important, the proverbial, I got your back until things go wrong. Well, that's when you want people to have your back.
I'm glad Brian let that roll a little bit, because he really got, you know, what he was trying to relate it to the St. Louis audience. And you know what? God bless Mike Schilt, and I admire the fact that he's loyal. But the last thing you can be thinking about is Matt Carpenter and his historical significance, not in August, not when you're tied for first place, not when you're facing the Brewers. You have to start the guy who gives you the best chance to win at 7 o'clock that night.
100%. And I agreed with Schilt on taking out Hudson. I don't agree on the loyalty to Matt Carpenter at this point. If it's June, maybe you ride it a little longer. And I think if you listen to that long answer, and there was more to it, he's basically saying, hell, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I mean, he's basically saying, I got a guy who's, I know he's not hitting. I know production matters. But, damn, he's been good over the years. He's a legacy-type player, is what he's saying. And everybody at home is saying, too bad. And the other thing is, and I like Matt Carpenter a lot, but I think the fan base doesn't hold him in that same, he's not in that same realm as Yachty or Waino or even a Holiday at that time. So I don't think the fan base thinks he should be accorded this long leash. Whereas if it is Molina or Waino and they struggle, I think they're okay with it. But I really think his answer was, I'm not sure what to do, because he has a long resume. He has been an on-base machine, but we all know it's not happening right now. I think he was trying to be really polite. And you asked the first question about Matt Carpenter, and I believe he said, Frank, that's a good question.
He did. But we don't get credit for that.
And then I said, how do you balance playing time when you got a Rosarena and you got Lane Thomas and all these? And he answered that, and then it was Jeff Jones who said, I think the intersect between Martin's question and Frank's question is basically Carpenter's taken up a spot, and you can't play some of these other guys because of that. And he said in there, I get the question. It's basically how soon will I throw him on the side of the road or throw him to the side, whatever it is. And I think that's his struggle right now. He feels almost guilty about it, but maybe it's a mosaic theory. He comes down and says, don't worry about it. Do what you got to do.
And now it's going to get even worse, because Bader's going to be here before long. Jose Martinez is going to be healthy soon. Tyler O'Neill is going to be healthy. You have Thomas. You have a Rosarena. Here's the one thing you can't do. You can't make Tommy Edman an outfielder. I mean, don't you make him like a third baseman? And then who gives you a better chance to get a couple of base hits at, you know, tonight, Edman or Carpenter, or eventually when all these guys are back? You can't use his position, you know, as an outfielder anymore when you have 100 outfielders, right?
Right. I mean, O'Neill's close. Jose Martinez is close. Bader's on his way back. I think it comes down to this. It's like a kid picking out two toys. Which one do you don't get both. Which one do you want? And if you feel Edman has to play all the time, then you can't also say Carpenter has to play all the time. I need you to pick. If you're loyal to Edman and you think he's an everyday player, which you stated, that's fine. But then you have to acknowledge Carpenter's not an everyday player. And as a follow-up, I did talk to Mike Schilt. Hoff will be mad, but I think it's kind of funny. I went up to him and I said, you ruined my day. He said, how did I ruin your day? I said, you told Frank. Good question. I said, we have a running deal. He said, oh, really? He said, how does that usually work? I said, well, I get one a month, and Frank gets one a week. I said, but would you do me a favor? I said, in one of these scrums or at some point, will you just say, Frank, that's a really dumb question? And I said, I need you to do this just for the audio. And he said, I don't know if I can pull that off. And I said, it would be hilarious. I said, he'll get it. Don't worry. And he said, will he know what I'm talking about? I said, yes. So in the post game, you asked about the decision to take.
Yeah.
I was watching,
and
I said,
that would have been perfect.
If he just right there could have said, Frank, that's a really dumb question, even though it wasn't. So when it does happen, you won't be surprised, but we'll get the audio.
Along those lines is I'm trying to get a mic on the radio for us either Thursday or Friday, preferably Friday at 11 or 10:59.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Mizzou, lap three. Today, it came out yesterday. They came out with the top 25, and Mizzou is just out of the top 25. Stanford's 25. I think Mizzou is 26. And I know that doesn't mean a whole lot in the grand scheme of things, and it's just a preseason poll, but it would have been really great for the program if, hey, Mizzou's a preseason top 25, even if they were just 25th. I'm excited about the program. We had Alex Schiffer on yesterday, who covers the Tigers on the for the Kansas City Star. And we asked him about Barry Odom looking finally relaxed in his own shoes.
I completely agree. I think he's extremely laid back. I think he's shown a sense of humor more than he ever has. I've really enjoyed covering camp this summer. I mean, I think he's been extremely laid back. I think he's definitely, I think the Barry Odom from that when he first took this job, it's day and night just as to how he's handling everything. He seems extremely at ease.
By the way, Bader up, Rosarena down.
Yeah, Rosarena sent down, Harrison Bader's back. You know, the preseason top 25 for most programs doesn't matter at all. And in the big picture, it doesn't matter. But I think it would have meant something to Mizzou. But now you go out, if you start running the table. And by the way, Howard Richards did text me yesterday. He said, I was listening. When I was talking about our 12-0, only if he's listening. I think he listens every day, so I better stick with this 12-0.
Careful, he's technically employed by another station. But
and he is kind of a big guy, and he does have the CIA background. So now, it would have been nice for Mizzou, but I'm very excited. When's the last time, maybe 07 coming off? 06 was a bowl year.
Yeah.
And you had Chase Daniel, and I think Macklin was going to be a freshman in 07. So I think you had some hype going in there. And then certainly in 08 coming off of the 07. But it's been a while since going into a season you were this excited. Sometimes they get your attention. Like in 13 and 14, I don't remember talking about them being SEC contenders, and then those seasons sort of took off.
14 starters returning. Barry Odom thinks they could have six guys drafted, and Barry Odom will begin his Monday segments with us next Monday, brought to you by our good friends at Harpo's. And finally, we're just going four laps today. The soccer story is the story in St. Louis sports. Everywhere you look, you see a soccer dignitary from Dan Flynn to Taylor Twellman to Jim Cavanaugh. They're all here today for this huge announcement that the MLS will begin play in 2022 in the St. Louis area. In terms of a name, well, Bill McDermott had a thought about what our name could be here in St. Louis.
Simply the name St. Louis Legacy. And if there's any team, not just currently in the sport, but in the history of the sport in our country, that can have the audacity to use the word legacy in their title, it would be St. Louis, simply because they are the birthplace of the popularity of the sport in our country, and that dates way back to 1875.
And I don't hate it, but I don't love it. And the problem is there's been a ton of names thrown around. I haven't heard one yet that is grabbing. Stallions, in honor of your fantasy football team. Jim, have you, Jimmy Hewer, you've been around soccer your whole life. Have you heard a name yet? I mean, I heard Gateway United. Not bad, but people said, I want St. Louis there.
Nothing strikes me. I'll be honest with you. For me, I don't care. We got the team. I see all the bickering back and forth among people who are around the game. And, you can't do this. Oh, you can't do it. It doesn't matter to me. Just we got the team. Let's go play some games. I don't mind the legacy. It's different. I do want it to be different. I'm not necessarily all in with St. Louis FC. I like the name for the current team in USL.
I feel like it's already taken.
Go down and get something different if you want.
I also think you're branding a team for some folks who don't really understand MLS and soccer.
True.
And if you call it St. Louis FC, they'll say, well, is that the one we already had? Do they play in Fenton?
Right.
It'll lead to a lot. These are people in this town who still think Channel 2 is ABC. They still call it Highway. They still call it Highway. They still call on Monday and say, what's the Monday night football game? First of all, it's been on ESPN for 13 years, and we haven't been ABC for 25 years. So I think St. Louis FC just would confuse people.
It probably would. I agree with
that.
But
I don't have a great choice either.
No.
Legacy works, but you're right.
I mean, Nashville is Nashville SC Soccer Club. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati went with FC Cincinnati. Austin's Austin FC. And I think Orlando is Orlando City SC. So there's a lot of the SCs and FCs. And
what about just FC Stallions and make it all about me?
There you go. Okay.
The Stallones.
Frank Cusimano Stallions.
Those teams you mentioned, those were all USL teams like Nashville, Cincinnati.
That became.
They kept the same name.
So they did.
They did.
Right.
What
did Atlanta do? Did they just come in as MLS? They didn't have a feeder team.
That's
so
correct.
To say.
They just came in as Atlanta United.
You know what I think is kind of interesting about this whole drama, the way it's unfolded, is Jim Cavanaugh had the idea about a little over 3.5 years ago. And then in April 2017, Martin, he was denied. And they basically said that day, hey, we're done. We're done. And then what happens is Kavanaugh comes back, and this time he brought the ammunition, the Taylor family and Enterprise Leasing. It was almost like a Clint Eastwood movie that he's denied, and then he comes back with the largest gun possible. Okay, I'm here. Turn me down now. And today, it'll be confirmed.
And the Taylor legacy in this town probably doesn't get told enough. I mean, the money that goes into charitable things and helping with the Arch Grounds, Forest Park. I mean, they have billions, but they throw it around. I mean, and this is just a newer piece, the latest piece, I guess, for them. Also, Chris May from the Ledoux Barbershop the other day did say for SLU, I said, what does this do? He said, for us, think about it, kids that want to play college soccer, if you're on the fence about where to go, isn't it sort of a plus that three blocks away is an MLS team? And then he even said, I don't know that it was off the rails, he said, you know what, we would love to compete then for a college cup. Wouldn't you love to see the national championship decided at that new stadium?
I was texting with Dave Peacock last night, and he believes this stadium should be used as a Friday night game of the week for high school football.
For sure.
I mean, you think about
it. I like
it, that. Because there's not a whole lot of activity there in the fall, and the weather is perfect. You could get like a doubleheader, you know, like at a Smet CBC, SLU Chaminade, East St. Louis against Trinity. Kirkwood, you know, boy, you could just.
I've been saying for years at Bush, bring back the stadium game, which used to be the Smet Vianney and SLU CBC, some variation of that. And I think Dave Peacock and that original group with Paul Edgerly, they had said, in addition to wanting a women's team, they wanted to do high school events like the Friday night game, maybe the state lacrosse championship that Rennie will cover. There was a number of things they had in mind that I think will carry over.
All right, let's take a short time out before we go to break. I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, and it's Key Malls Restaurant. I just got this email. My wife and I were going to the Luke Bryant concert Saturday night at Hollywood Casino. We were looking for a quick place to stop and get something to eat nearby. I saw a tweet from Key Malls on Saturday morning advertising happy hour. I couldn't believe Key Malls has a happy hour on Saturday. We had four drinks, three appetizers, a salad and cheese bread, all for under $50 before tip. We probably ate more than we needed to, but I kept ordering because everything was so good and so cheap. We were in and out in less than an hour and inside the amphitheater 15 minutes later. Location is great. Food is legendary. Also, my wife just became a fan of the crab cakes. Couldn't believe they were on the happy hour menu. Key Malls used to be a once or twice a year place for us. Now with the new location and happy hour, it's a 6-day-a-week place for us. 3:30 to 8:30, Key Malls and the happy hour. We are now open for lunch. It's the new steakhouse, the Key Malls Chop House. And I also want to thank the good people at the Gatesworth. They're one of our great sponsors, Finest in Senior Living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma and grandpa, we recommend the Gatesworth, the Finest in Senior Living. We'll take a short time out. We're broadcasting live from the Palladium. Frank and Martin will be right back.